Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight. Thank you for joining us. I am so glad that you are here tonight. Oh gosh, I am excited. I am always excited, and I am so ready to get what God has for me tonight. And I hope that you are ready to get what God has for you tonight. First, I want to start off by saying that we're going to be giving away some tickets on tonight. And so I'm hoping that those of you who are listening in through the live audience, I hope you participate tonight. We got some tickets, and unfortunately, the tickets for this event are in the Southern California area. So if you're in the greater Los Angeles area, then you definitely will want to try to win these tickets. They could be a great birthday present, an anniversary present, a just-because present. You may not be able to use the tickets for yourself, but you may want to sow seed into someone else's life that you know is either starting up a business and they kind of gotten stagnant and stuck, or maybe they're starting up a business and they don't know how to do a business plan, or maybe they've been thinking about starting up a business or a ministry and they just don't know how to move forward. Well, I have an event that's taking place this weekend, Saturday the 23rd, from 10 to 2, only 4 hours, in Culver City at the Marriott Courtyard, or Courtyard by Marriott, in Culver City. I'll give you more details, but we are going to be giving away some tickets for that. We have two sets of tickets that we'll be giving away. So not only can you take yourself, but you could definitely take a friend. So, again, we'll be doing that towards the middle of the show this evening. If you know anything about life coaching, if you've done any research on life coaching, you know that life coaching is not it's not inexpensive. It's an investment. And, you know, people go to college for years and they pay a lot of money and they invest a lot of money and a lot of time to get degree, to get qualified to do what it is that they studied. And same thing with life coaching. Is, you know, if you go to a life coach because of the nuggets, because of the time invested, because of the wisdom and knowledge that coach brings to your life, to hold you accountable, to keep you in shape, to get you prepared for that race. You know, just like in the Olympics, those athletes go for Olympics, I think, is every, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Olympics is every 2 years or every 4 years, something like that. And these athletes train day and night, every day, to get their coaches, to get them prepared to not just go to the Olympics, but to go and win, to be winners, to win, bring back home the gold and the silver and the bronze, and I don't know all the things, but they're training to win this race. And so it's the same thing with a life coach. That life coach, if you allow them to partner with you, they come into your life and they're going to push you. They're going to provoke you to purpose. They're going to help you meet your full potential. And it don't always feel good. If you ever went through training, exercise training with a trainer, the benefits were great, but during the work is hard, and it doesn't always feel good. And I once was told through my mentor that with every great adversity is an equal or greater reward. And so these things are hard. We got to work for what we really want, which brings me to tonight's show. Tonight's show, I was talking to a dear sister of mine today, and God had already put on my heart yesterday. I was battling between which direction I was going to go with the show, and he had already confirmed yesterday the direction he wanted me to go. But then somewhere in midstream, I lost focus. I had no plan, no commitment to plan. I lost focus, and I moved too slow, and I almost forgot what God told me. And I was talking to a dear sister of mine today, and she said, we were talking, and it's amazing because we got to talking about the very thing that God told me to speak about tonight. And we were talking about people not being willing. People want the glory, but they don't want to build the story. In other words, they don't want to have to go through nothing. They don't want to have to work hard. They don't want to have to do none of that. They just want the reward. You know, it's no discipline. And discipline simply means a delay in one's self-gratification. And we want everything. We're a microwave generation. We want everything now. We want to name it and claim it. We want to perfect. We want to do all this stuff to get what we desire instead of just working hard to get what we desire and working and sowing and nurturing and watering and reaping. So tonight's message on tonight, and I'm going to, the night's message is 5 ways to have a healthy harvest. 5 ways to have a healthy harvest. I'm excited about tonight's message because tonight's message is ministering to me as well, and I pray that it will be a blessing and minister to each of you listening in on tonight and for those that will listen in to the archives. I want to give you an opportunity to get your pen, get paper, get some notepaper, your whatever it is, because I believe that some of the things that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you tonight, you're going to want to jot down. You're going to want to write down. You want to jot down some scriptures to support some of the things that's being said tonight. I would say that this is kind of almost like Wednesday night Bible study because we're going to do some work, because the whole purpose for tonight's message is that most of the time we're not willing to do the work. We want to just reap the benefits, but we don't want to put in the work. And then, and so we're going to talk about that on tonight. So get your pens, get your paper. If you have a Bible, which if you have a smartphone, you have a Bible, because you might want to, like I said, note these scriptures or even take a look at them. I'm going to be moving pretty fast. In reference to the scriptures, I might just be giving you the scripture. I might not read it in detail. I may paraphrase, and I will tell you, I don't care where you go, whether it's church or whether it's a conference, a seminar, a workshop, anytime scriptures is going forth, I don't care who it is, you always want to verify and qualify. So in other words, if I shoot a scripture out tonight and I tell you it means X, Y, Z, I may be paraphrasing. You need to go back and you need to check that scripture for yourself to make sure that that scripture says what Coach D says it says, because we have oftentimes we put our trust in men and then we are expecting for them to give us the right tools or the right scriptures, and we just take it for granted that they know what they're talking about. Well, you know what? God is not going to hold them accountable. He's going to hold us accountable for knowing. So I just want you guys, I don't want you guys to think Coach D is just know it all. So you make sure that you know for yourself. Amen. So anyway, what we're going to start off with, we got 5 steps to a healthy harvest. And I'm going to go through these steps. We're going to break them down. We're going to have some fun. And please, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you need me to repeat anything, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let the team know that you have a question or a comment. We'll bring you in. Once you state your question or comment, it's answered. We dialogue on it. Then when you stop, dial 1 again. That'll take you back out the queue so that if you have another question at any time, then I'll know because you'll dial 1 again. So dialing 1 will either bring you into the queue or it'll bring you out the queue. So if you dial 1 to come in and you speak, when you get through speaking, dial 1 to pull yourself out. Okay, so we're going to start with number 1. Number 1, we're going to talk about the season. Knowing your season. Well, why is that even important? I don't want to be a farmer. I don't want to be out in the field. So why do I need to know my season? Well, you need to know your seasons, because if you don't know your seasons, then you're not going to understand what you're supposed to be doing. If you don't know your seasons, when there's a season for you to be planting, you may be trying to harvest. And if you're harvesting in the wrong season, then you might get frustrated because there won't be any harvest. And then you might think that you're being cursed. You might be thinking that God forgot about you because you went to harvest in the wrong season and there's nothing there for you to harvest. So we want to make sure that we understand our seasons. And in knowing that, then we'll know when to plant. We'll know when to sow. We'll know when to nurture. And we'll know when to harvest. Amen. And a supporting scripture for this, I'm going to give you 2. The first one is Genesis chapter 8, verses 22. And it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So God actually designed and did everything from the beginning of Genesis That's, he put seasons into place. He put seasons into place for a purpose. As it is in the spiritual, so there is in the natural. And then also the other scripture that I would like to give you is Ecclesiastes. And that's Old Testament, because I'm going to be naming it. It's a lot of Old Testament that I'm doing tonight. So if you have any questions, again, there's Google. Google is always great. But if you need to know, if you can't find a particular book that I mentioned on tonight and you're trying to figure out where is that, feel free Google it, or feel free to dial one, and I can help you out with that. But Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, and it starts off, and I won't go through all, but it tells you there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to pluck what's planted. It goes on, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to weep and a time to, it's a time for everything. There's a time and there's season for everything, such as this. There is a season that you plant. There's a season that you pluck. There's a dormant season. So you want to know your seasons. Know what season you're in so you'll know what you're supposed to be doing, and you won't be discouraged. You won't be discouraged because if you're in the proper season, then you will harvest what you're planting. So those are the two scriptures to support that. Again, number one, know your season. Okay? And the supporting scriptures, again, is Genesis chapter 8, verses 22, and Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the whole chapter. Number two, the seed. Plant according to the harvest you want to reap. So in other words, know your seed. A lot of times we foolishly, and I know I've done this, I can't speak for everybody else, but I know I foolishly have planted seeds expecting a certain harvest. So I've planted orange seeds, but I was desiring apples. I didn't understand my seed that I was planting. And a lot of times we just go through life planting seeds that we don't understand, and then when those seeds begin to grow and take root, we end up with some stuff that we weren't ready for. What are seeds? Words. Let's go with words are seeds. And it's already established that the word of God is a seed. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 tells us that the seed is God's word. His word is seed. And so we hear this. You've heard this. Be careful what you speak. You could speak certain things in the atmosphere that could cause things to come to pass because words are seeds. And so we got to be careful of the seeds that we plant. And we all have planted some foolish seeds with our kids, with our spouses, with other loved ones. You know, we've gotten upset and maybe, you know, said some things that we wish we wouldn't have said. We planted seeds. And then those seeds took root and grew, and we'd be like, oh, my gosh, what's this? Why my kid can't graduate from school? Oh, well, maybe because you sowed the seed of stupid. You know, get mad at them. Oh, you're so stupid. Why you do that stupid thing? You know, we've sowed seeds, negative seeds, and they do plant. Seeds do. When you plant them, they're going to grow, and this is what they're going to produce. So we want to be careful. We want to make sure we're planting the right seeds. If you need money, what's the best thing to do if you need money? What seed should you be planting if you need money? Exactly. And I'm not just saying this because I'm saying this. The word of God tells us this. The word of God says that everything produces after its own kind. And so if it's telling us that everything produces after its own kind, everything that we have that we give is going to produce after its own kind. So if you need love, you need to plant more love. If you need, you know, if you need compassion, then plant more compassion. So we just know that everything produces after its own kind. I'm giving you supporting scriptures on that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. I'm going to say that again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And I'm moving around, so you might hear some background noise because I'm trying to make sure I get you these scriptures, because these things, you could go back way after this call is over, you could go back to these scriptures. And these are seeds. You know what I'm saying? When you have a situation going on in your life, you find the seed that's relating to that situation. And then you begin to meditate on that seed. You begin to plant that seed within you so that that seed can now begin to grow and manifest and produce what you need for healing, what you need for deliverance, what you need for prosperity, whatever that thing is, that seed of health. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding, fruit after its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. So it's telling us right there that seeds are going to produce what they are. You're not going to ever plant an apple seed and get a pear tree. That's just not how it works. That's not how God designed it. So we want to make sure that we're aware of what seeds we have and that we're aware of what seeds we're planting. And don't worry, if you're planting some of the wrong seeds, you could uproot them. You could uproot these seeds. You could take them up. You could throw them away. You could begin to pray over them. There's things that you could do. So I don't want you to be worried, say, oh, Lord, I done said this, or I done did this, or I sold this seed, and now you're fearing of what the manifestation is going to be. We got something for that, too. We got some stuff that's called weed killer, and it's the word. And we could speak the word over any situation or circumstance. So, again, I'm going to repeat, as we have people calling in, just tuning in. We're still a little early into the show, but I want to backtrack a little bit for those who are already listening in. Just bear with me. I want to bring those that just signed in or called in up to speed. Tonight we are speaking about five ways to have a healthy harvest. Five ways to have a healthy harvest. We mentioned that, one of the things is that we understand that people within a season or a generation that's not very disciplined, that many don't want to delay self-gratification, that we are the microwave generation. We want everything now, now, now. We don't want to have to put in the work. We don't want to have to be diligent. So we just want things quickly. And so we were talking about that, and then we said, okay, tonight, that's what the message tonight is. We're going to talk about some healthy harvest. We're going to talk about five key things. There's other things, too, but we're going to talk about five key things that help you have a healthy harvest. And the first thing we spoke on tonight was know your season. Know what season you're in. Because if you don't understand seasons, then you'll find yourself trying to harvest in the wrong season and then getting frustrated and angry at God that there's nothing there for you to get. You're getting angry at God because you're out of season. I want to bring something else up about that season, knowing your season. Has anyone ever experienced going, let's just say that you went to visit someone or you went to stay with someone, and you were only supposed to be there for 2 weeks, and that 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and all of a sudden all breaks out. Everybody's not getting along. Your kids are fighting with the other kids. You and the person that you're staying with are bumping heads, and you just don't understand what happened. I mean, we love each other. We're family, but I don't understand why now things are ugly. And then you end up leaving that situation, and you and that person who was supposed to be a blessing to each other, it ended up being a curse. And you didn't understand why, and we blame it on all kind of silly stuff like, oh, she didn't know how to clean the bathroom, or, oh, well, she took my orange juice out the icebox. We say things like that, but the reality of it was is that we were out of season. The season, we were supposed to go there, and we had a season time of 2 weeks. And our season had came and left, and we were still in a place that we should have been gone from. So that means we were out of season. Or have you ever had a job and you left that job because you were angry, you were mad, you left a job, and when you left a job, things got worse for you. You couldn't find another job, and you were wondering why. Do you think that perhaps you left out of season? So that's why number one is important. You got to know your season. That is important. And I gave you support in scripture, Genesis chapter 8, verses 22. And I also gave you Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The entire chapter tells us about seasons. There's a time for everything. And then we went to number two. Number two was the seed. Know your seed. Why is that important? Because if you don't know your seed, then you're not going to know what you're going to harvest. And you may be planting the wrong seed for what you need. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. You may be planting the wrong seed for what you need. So you need to be careful where you're planting seeds. Now, seeds are various things. In this case, we could spiritually, we could be talking about various seeds. In the natural, we could be talking about seeds. When I talk about seeds, first and foremost, I want to establish the fact, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that God's word is seed, is the seed. The seed is God's word. His word is seed. So words are seed. Secondly, I want to establish the fact that we can sow seed, time. We can sow the seed of time. I'm sowing seed of time. I can sow the seed of love, the seed of compassion. I can sow the seed of tithing, offering, giving. Those are seeds that's being sown. And we already have, we're establishing that God's laws is, you know, what principles. God's principles don't change. Facts change, but principles remain the same. And in the Word of God, one of his principles is that seeds produce after their own kind. You'll never plant, again, and I'm repeating this for some, but those who tune in, you'll never plant an apple tree, an apple seed, and get a pear tree, because that's not how God planned it. Every seed produces after its own kind. And we establish that not through Coach D, but we establish that through the Word of God. And in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 through 24, tells us about that. He tells us about, what he created in the earth. You know, it tells us, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding the fruit tree yielding fruit after its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. So he's telling us there that it's going to get, whatever we plant is what we're going to get. I found it even more interesting in that, because he tells us that in Genesis chapter 1, 11 through 24, but I also found it that in that's in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 6, and I believe it's Galatians chapter 6, verses, I want to say verse 7, and I'm going to make sure, because I'm moving around, because we want to get some nuggets in here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and it says, I'm going to read this, because this is really helping you to know your seed. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So whatever you sow, whether it's good, not so good seed, it's going to produce good or not so good. Amen? Let's just remember that. That was number two. And then we're getting down to number three. And number three shares with us this. Sow multiple crops. Now, I want to be honest in this, because everything that I study and when I'm reading, whatever God gives me, I always want to back it. Whatever I say, I want to be able to back by Scripture. And I studied, and I said, Lord, multiple crops. And I got to reading Scripture, and I didn't see anything that spoke about multiple crops, but I did see things that spoke about abundance. But more importantly, let me tell you what I've seen in the Word of God. And everything that I've seen that spoke about abundance of crops, especially as it pertains in the Old Testament, it always spoke about when it came time for harvest, that God had gave firm instructions that when his people were to go to harvest, they were always supposed to leave behind the leftovers for those less fortunate. Well, what does that mean, Coach D? What are you saying? What I'm saying is that God blesses us to be a blessing. It was never his intent that we have these abundant lives unto ourselves. He was his intent that we live abundantly so that we could be a blessing to those less fortunate, to those who don't have. And today that was very clear. I mean, that sounds like common sense stuff, like, oh, you know, you should know that. Everybody should know that. But I think we get so caught up in life, and we get so caught up in what our own needs, our own wants, our own desires are. We get caught up in the thrill of prosperity teachings and naming and claiming that becomes self-consumed, self-absorbed, self-centered, and it has nothing to do with God and what God desires for us and what God desires for us to want for others. And so in the sow multiple crops, I'm saying sow multiple crops because you want to have an abundance, not just for you and your family, but the success comes when you can not just take care of you and yours, but you can take care of you, yours, and others. That's abundance. That is abundance right there. So, again, number three was sow multiple crops and making sure that we're doing enough, that when we are able to do enough, when we're being blessed abundantly, when things are flowing, that we think about others and that we be a blessing to others. One of the things that is insurance. And then multiple crops, now I'm going to take this from a different point. Doing multiple crops is insurance as well, because in the natural, we know we're coming in a time where everything is increasing. You know, we see that they're doing GMOs, and they're doing all these things to produce fast. Our population has grown. They're trying to be able to produce enough to sell, to give to people, for people to be able to eat. So they're doing all these things. And they're doing a lot of what they call intercropping. They're doing a lot of multi-cropping, you know, where they're sowing various seeds in all in one plot, one land. And they're doing that because of insurance, for one, but it's also doing it for increase, for fast increase. So if you're sowing various seeds in one area, then when this seed is growing, this seed may still be going through a different season, but this seed may be the time to harvest, and then you're harvesting this seed, and as you're harvesting this seed, you still got other seeds that's coming up and growing. So it becomes abundance. It becomes insurance, because what happens if one crop didn't grow according to purpose, if one crop didn't grow according to plan, what happens with that? You know, what happens if you only sold one crop? Guess what? You risk. It's a chance you take. You risk that crop not harvesting properly, and then you have to start all over. Well, that's, if we know anything about seasons, that could be that's 4 seasons away before you could get back to harvesting. So multiple crops there's nothing wrong with it. I'm in a spiritual sense, I'm going to give you an example of multiple crops. Multiple crops is, not only do I tithe, because that's a requirement of me, but I also do offering, and I do giving. There's a difference between giving, between offering, and between tithing. Many don't know that. Those are three different things. They're not combined, because you tithe, you say, oh, I tithe, I'm giving. Or I'm tithe, I'm giving. No, there's a difference between it, because tithe is something, is a tenth of our earning, or tenth of what we bring in, and that's a requirement from God. An offering is something that you do that comes from your heart. It's a matter of a man's heart. So there was no set amount put on. There's no set example amount for you to have to do an offer, because it's offering something that you get pricked or provoked to do through the Holy Spirit. And then giving is the same, pretty much the same. Just a giving heart. Where you who knows? You know, you might go up to somebody. We see giving a lot. You know, you're riding down the street, you see a family, they look like they're struggling, and it's just placed on your heart to give them something. You know, so those are different things. But those are all seeds being sown. Yes, they're all money, but they're different seeds being sown. And that's considered multiple crops. You're tithing, you're giving, you're offering. It may not even be money. It could be giving of your time. offering your services. So those are all seeds that could be planted at the same time. And it's definitely more examples, but I'm giving you something that you can relate to. And so definitely sowing multiple crops is a good thing. It's always a good thing to do that. It's insurance, because it's going to make sure that you constantly have harvest coming through. And it also is a blessing. Multiple crops is always going to bless someone. Even in the examples I gave you, is a blessing to someone. Amen. Now we're going to get down to, one, know your seed. Know your season. Two, know your seed. Three, sow multiple crops. Now we're going to get to four. And four is protect your seed. Now this one I'm probably going to spend a little bit more time on, because I don't care what all you do. You could know your season. You could know what kind of seed you're going to plant according to what you want. You could do all those things. But if you don't protect your seed, everything you did was in vain. Everything you did was in vain. And so what does protecting your seed mean? Meaning, don't be careless with your seed. We all, and I just heard that in my spirit, well, what if I don't have no seed? We all have seed. We all have seed we can sow. You may not have a monetary seed, but you may have a seed of compassion. You may not have a seed of food, but you may have a seed of love. We all have seed, not just seed, we all have seeds with the S, plural, that we could sow. And we have to, and if you don't think you have seed, it's probably because you haven't protected your seed to even know that you have it so that you could plant it. So we have to be sure that we're protecting our seeds, because there's pestilence. And in the spiritual sense, those pestilence become little not-so-good spirits that come into our lives and begin to eat away at our seed. I don't know why you paying tithes at that church. When you out sick, they don't even call you. That's a pestilence that's coming to take your seed. Murmuring is a pestilence. Is coming to eat your seed. Complaining is coming to eat your seed. Bitterness, anger, hate, they're coming to eat your seed. So if you truly feel like you don't have seed, then those are some of the things you may want to take a look at in your life, because you have seed. The question is, why are you not planting it? What is consuming your seed? What has come into your house, into your storehouse? What has come into your storehouse and begin to eat away at your seed so that you don't have any seed to plant? I hear people say, "Ooh, I'm broke. I don't have no money." But then you see them post on Facebook that they just went to BJ's to eat. Coming to eat your seed. And that's why we have to be protective. Am I saying don't go to BJ's and eat? No, absolutely not. But know the purpose of your seed. And if you're saying, oh, I don't have enough, I'm lacking in, for example, let's just say money. I'm using that because, see, we understand, everybody understands the language of money. So if you're saying you don't have enough, I can't pay my electric bill because I don't have enough money. I can't pay my rent because I don't have enough money. But then you go get your nails done. Or whatever your thing, whatever that thing is that you do that requires you to spend money that you say you don't have, then you are not protecting your seed and you are sowing in bad ground. I'm going to say that again. You are sowing in bad ground. Well, what does sowing in bad ground do? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't, it's not going to present a harvest. You won't have anything at the end when the season comes, the right season comes. You won't have any harvest because you didn't sow in good ground. And if you sow, if you got good seed and you sow it in bad ground where the soil is not ready, it's not a fertile soil. It's not even a soil. A soil has to be fertile in order to produce. So if the soil is not fertile, it's not going to produce. So if you're sowing seed in unfertile ground, guess what? You're just wasting seed. Ooh, I'm going to say this. Some of us are sitting up under ministries. Some of us are sitting up under ministries, and we're sowing seed. And the seed is not harvesting. Know where you're sowing your seed. Make sure it's on good ground. Make sure the ground is fertile. Make sure the ground is fertile. Oh, and as I was saying that, I don't know if anybody's ever been close to farmland. As a kid, we moved to the suburbs. And when we moved to the suburbs, I'm a city girl. And my family moved us to the suburbs, and I can remember the first day we went out there to look at the house. Oh, my goodness. There was this smell that illuminated the air, and I was just, oh, my goodness, what is that? And I remember my parents said, that's cows, and that's cow manure. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can remember being sick the whole day. I couldn't do nothing but lay in the bed because the smell was overwhelming, and I just couldn't believe that they were moving us to the country with these cows. And I'm saying all that to say is that the smell of, you know what fertilizer is made out of? Fertilizer is made out of cow manure. And I'm saying that to say is that we know that fertilizer causes things to grow. It can help you with a great harvest because it stinks and it got whatever the stuff that the cows eat that's good for growth. And I'm saying that because sometimes, when we're planting in the ground, our seed, that ground may have a stench. It might have something. Or we might say, ooh, should I be planting here? Well, I would say pray because it may be good ground. It may be good ground for growth. I don't know where that came from. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, good ground doesn't always have to look pretty. I guess what I'm saying. It may not always look pretty. It may not always be this perfectly shaped thing that you think is supposed to look. It may not always look like what you think is supposed to look like in order to produce a good harvest. That's the point that I'm making. So, again, protecting your seed, making sure that you are being a good steward over the seeds that you have, over even if it's a little bit of seed. You know, you may not have much, but even if it's just one seed, do you know that one seed planted, one apple seed planted, do you know how many apples that seed, one seed produced? But not on top of that, do you know how many seeds that seed produced? Because if you think about it, one apple, and I'm just giving some off numbers, if one apple produces a tree that has 100, I mean one seed, apple seed, produces a tree that has 100 apples on there, and each apple have 8 seeds, do the math. Do the math there. So it only takes one seed to bring forth a great harvest. So now I'm going to get to number 4. Again, I'm being redundant, but I want you to get it. Write it down. Look at it later. Know your season. Know your seed. Sow multiple crops. In other words, be blessed to be a blessing. Protect your seed. Know what ground you're putting your money in. Your seed. Know what ground you're sowing your seed in. Make sure that it's fertile ground, because if it's not fertile ground, then you're not going to reap a harvest. And then you don't, you know, and then you can't get mad at God that you're not being wise with your seed. Lastly, number five, don't sleep through your harvest. What comes to mind on number five for me is this. It takes work to sow. It takes work because you have to till the land. You have to plow the land. You got to till. There's work that's involved. It's not easy. It's not easy. And then you plant seeds, and there's a process. And most of us, again, as I said before, we don't want to go through the process. The process takes too long. It's too it's strenuous. And oftentimes we do all the work of this sowing. And then what happens is when we get close to harvest time, we grow weak and faint. We don't follow through. It could be the one time. You know, I think about sales. Anybody that knows Coach D knows Coach D cannot stand the word sale. I do not like the word sale. And because I don't like the word sale, I've oftentimes did sowing, but I failed when it came to the harvest time because it was such a stress. It was such a strain. It was such a turmoil for me just to do the sowing for the sale that I fell weak when it came for the harvest. How do you fall weak when it comes to the harvest in this situation, Coach D? I felt weak because I didn't make the last follow-up call. I didn't ask the question. I didn't follow through. And I might have took that one more call for that person to say, yes, I'll take your product. But I fell asleep. I fell asleep on the harvest. And so we in life oftentimes fall asleep on the harvest. We do a lot of sowing. We do a lot of prepping. We do a lot of preparing. And then when it comes time to benefit, we're weary. And the supporting scripture I want to give you for that is this. Galatians chapter 6, and that's verse 9. And basically, in that Galatians, it tells us, and I'm just going to bring it up because I want to give you word for word. I don't want to give you Coach D's version, my paraphrase. And basically, it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many of us have seeds in the ground? We're waiting on harvest, and we got so frustrated with the wait. We got so frustrated with the process that we laid down before the harvest came. How many of us have had to say, dang, if I would have just went, if I would have just stayed, if I would have just said this, if I would have just knocked on that door, I could have had this, or I could have had that. Oh, if I would have only woke up on time, I would have a different career. If I only, and we have a lot of if I only. So I'm saying to you today, let's stop the if I only slumber on our harvest. Let's be prepared. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, tells us the story of the 10 virgins. We all know the story of the 10 virgins and how the 10, you know, how the 10 virgins were waiting on the groom, and some of the virgins decided they were going to go out and they were going to sleep, basically. They were going to go and do what they wanted to do and not be prepared, not have their lamps prepared for when the groom came, and they was just, they were unconscious. That's the term I'm going to use. They just went totally unconscious. The groom came and took, you know, and took the rest, and these got left behind because they was unconscious. They slept, and they missed their harvest. So tonight I'm saying to us, how many of us is willing to keep missing our harvest? How many of us is willing not to do, not to put the work in? You know, how many of us is going to keep sowing seed when it's raining? I don't know the seasons. I'm not a farmer, but knowing your season, how many of us is going to be harvesting when we should be sowing? You know, how many of us is going to be planting the wrong seed? You know, we're saying, gosh, I feel so unloved. I don't know why I feel so unloved. I feel so empty. But then we're not planting the right seed. We're planting seeds of discord, envy, jealousy. Ooh, don't say, oh, Coach, they really? No, those are seeds that we plant. But then we'll ask ourselves, why nobody like us? Why nobody want to be around me? Why? I don't know why they won't hire me. I don't know what's wrong with me. They ain't hiring me. Well, what kind of seed are you sowing? Multiple crops. Making sure that you're sowing multiple crops. Don't be afraid to sow. Don't be afraid. You can, you know what? You can love and have compassion and be a giver all at the same time. Nothing wrong with sowing multiple crops. Make sure you're sowing them. It's good. That's good for you. That means more harvest for you, and more abundance for those that you want to bless because you were blessed. Protect your seed. Be careful. Protect it. Seeds are important, especially good seeds, because one seed, again, one seed could bring abundance. So we got to protect that seed, making sure we're sowing in the right ground, making sure it's fertile ground, because the intention is a harvest. Nobody wants to sow and do the work without getting a harvest. And lastly, five, don't sleep on your harvest. Murmuring, complaining, bitterness, anger, hate, too much frustration. All these things are pestilence to your harvest. They could come and begin to eat away at your heart before your harvest even comes. And your harvest is coming up. They could come and start eating away at it. And it could just take away your harvest. So you've done all this hard work, and now it's time for you to reap the benefits, and there's nothing there to reap because you allow these pestilence to come in and take over and take control. So tonight I say to you, is just follow these five key steps. Then we could do good. We could have great harvest. We could have more than enough to be able to bless others as we continuously be blessed. One of the scriptures come to mind, even as I talk about this from a spiritual standpoint, when I'm talking about sowing and reaping. One of the scriptures that come to mind is, I learned this scripture as a teenager from my mentors, and they used to teach this scripture, and they would teach it and give you a perception because they would do a little, they would do something that described this scripture, so you would get a perception of it. And it was Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1-14 tells us that if we hearken diligently and obey all the Lord commands, and I'm paraphrasing, that all these blessings will overtake us, that we wouldn't have room enough. And so they do a little skit with that where one person pretends to be the blessing and the other person is the person that's obedient, and then this blessing just falls on the other person and overtake them. That, do you know what overtake, for something to overtake something? That's powerful. I mean, that's all-consuming. And his word is telling us that these blessings will overtake us, that we won't have room enough to hold on to them. So I just want to encourage you on tonight to keep pushing, to keep sowing, to keep knowing your season, to keep sowing multiple crops, to protect your seed, and most of all, don't sleep. I would like to open up the lines now. We do have some tickets we want to give away, and I'm going to open up the line really quickly. I want to see if Coach Adams is in the house so she can share Saturday. Share about Saturday so there's there those in the audience, whether you're listening live in the studio or if you're listening through the Internet. If you are interested in tickets to this event, all you have to do is dial 1 on your dial pad or shoot me a quick note. The event is coming up this Saturday. There's only 2 days, but it's in the greater Los Angeles area, and I'm going to let Coach Adams tell us a little bit more about the event. Coach Adams, are you in the studio?
Well, hello, Coach D. Thank you so much for having me. You know, I really want to give honor and respect to you for the powerful nuggets that you shared on this evening's Processing the Pain. And, you know, as it relates to Saturday's event is about sowing a seed in one's vision. I know there's somebody listening in that is struggling with how do I reach my goals? Where do I go with this massive vision? I don't know exactly where to take it from here. You are the individual that Coach D was speaking to that these tickets need to get into your hands. Because Saturday's 4 hours of power wind shop with Coach Adams is going to be a powerful time of vision training, strategic planning, and coaching empowerment. You don't want to miss it. Host it 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Courtyard by Marriott Hotel in Culver City. 4 hours of power around your vision. You need to invest in you. You owe it to yourself. Come out and let's grow together.
Awesome, awesome. So if that is you and you believe that this could be a blessing to you and a friend, please dial 1 or either, like I said, you could hit me up in my inbox. Coach Adams, when is the latest that you're going to need to have those names?
Well, you know, Coach D, I will do this. We will reflect your guest, whoever they are, on the registration. They have to mention, of course, you give them a special code or whatever that you'll tell me that is. So we will work it out. Of course, I know that you have already indicated that you're going to have a couple of guests. So we're just waiting for those names of those individuals who will take advantage of this amazing offering. And, you know, I have to say that Coach D believes in you, her listening audience, so much that she's investing in you to say, I want to be a blessing. I want to give you a powerful tool for you to continue to grow. So don't miss that opportunity.
Yes, amen. Thank you for that, Coach Adams, because that is so true. A lot of times a lot of times people are giving us. That wasn't mentioned in tonight, but as you said that, a lot of times people are giving us good seed, and we don't even recognize it's good seed, and we'll pass up a good opportunity that can manifest into so many things, because even I'm thinking with the 4 hours of power, and I went in January, I think that was in January, and it was earlier this year, and it was just an awesome experience. It's a good opportunity, like you said, some good nuggets that go forth. But it also was a good opportunity to network because there are other like-minded people there. There are other people that's trying to start up their businesses. There's people there that's starting up their ministries. You're learning a lot, you know. You're learning a lot from the class itself, from Coach Adams, who is a master coach. But also you're learning from other people that's there because there's resources. And, you know, we go through a ministry that teaches us about the corridor effect and how this, you know, how you draw into you the conditions of your heart. So you go to this type of environment or into this this type of training, and you'll find that you'll meet people that might be the very thing you need. Let's just say you want to start I'm just going to go off the blue. You might want to start a group home, and you're certified. You want to start a group home, but you don't have the resources, the finances. You don't have the home. But then you go into environments like this, and you meet other people, and you might meet somebody in that environment that has several properties that they're trying to figure out how they could. They're trying to figure out how they could, because they might be on the verge of getting ready to lose them, and they're looking for a blessing. And you come in with your business plan that you learn here at the 4 Hours of Power. You learn about this kind of stuff, but you come in and you be able to tell them, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. I want to do a group home. I want to have this many people. I want it to be for this kind of for this type of person or this type of group. And they say, okay, well, I have a 4-bedroom home in Los Angeles. Or I have a 4-bedroom home in San Bernardino. And I'm looking for somebody that could take over that or could go in there. And not only are they winning because now their mortgage is getting paid, you're winning because now you got a house that you don't have to put any revenue into. So I'm just saying, there's networking corridor, principle. Drawn to you the conditions. You never know where you might go when you get out your comfort zone. You never know where you might go and just meet the right person. I've had more opportunities presented to me. I've had more things manifest. I've brought a couple of homes in my lifetime. And I brought many cars in my lifetime. And I'm just using these things because we understand tangible things. But I'm saying I just went. I didn't have the money. I didn't know how I was going to do it. But I just got up and I went. And each time I've done it, I've always came back with the desires of my heart. Thank you, Lord. But he always provoked me to go. I had a dream, a vision. It was a vision. That vision then turned into a dream. I dreamed about the thing, and then I just walked out and did it. And so I'm saying to people, we always talk about what we don't have. I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't start a business because I don't have this. But you don't. But you know what? Everything you have, everything that you're not getting no more blessings. You're not going to get any additional blessing. You're not going to get any less blessing. What God has blessed you with, he's already blessed you. He's not giving you no more. So if you're sitting up here waiting for this major big blessing to fall through the sky, it's not going to happen. Because guess what? It's already done. And that's why we say, that's why we pray for it to be done on earth as it already is in heaven. It's already done. Our key here on earth while we're here is to bring the manifestation of those things in the spiritual to the natural. Your blessing is there. It's up to you to grab it. It's up to you to pull it into the manifestation of earth so that you could experience it here on earth. It's up to you. And how is that up to you? Are you spending enough time vertically? Because if that's where my blessings are, it's vertically, then I guess I need to be spending more time vertically so I can understand, so I can hear from God how I pull my blessings into the natural, so I can begin to experience these blessings, these abundant blessings, these blessings that overtake you. If you hearken diligently and obey, most of us blessings are not overtaking us because we're not hearkening diligently and we're not obeying. God told you to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start praying. You rolled over and went to sleep until 6:15. But it was a blessing, a manifestation of your blessing in the natural for you to get up when he said at 5. I'm not saying that I'm always getting it right. I'm one of the ones that he might tell to get up at 5 o'clock sometime, and sometime I want to roll over. But that blessing might have been right there at 5 o'clock, not 5:05. Not 5:13, but 5 o'clock. It's in our obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when we're not being obedient, we're missing those blessings that already exist for us. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans. I already know what I have for you, what I have planned for you. And it gives you a future and a hope. He's saying this. It's already done. It's already done. We just have to line up with the finished work.
And you know, Coach D,
yes.
I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you hit the nail right on the head right there. Line up, which simply put means get into position. We will not reap a harvest if we haven't positioned a seed, if we're not in alignment. So for many, it's just you need to get into position. You just need to get into that place. And there is a specific position, for example, for a woman to give birth. She can give birth geographically in different areas, but there's one central thread that she has to be in the right position. And for many of us, we're missing it because we refuse to get into position. Getting into position doesn't mean I have all the answers. It just means that I'm willing to sacrifice and do what I need to do to make that investment, to be open to receiving what's needful or planting that seed, as you were speaking about so well earlier. Get in position.
Yes. Get in position. So, again, if you are ready to get in position, because when you're not ready, you're just not ready. You know what I'm saying? So, when you're ready to get in position, for that, you know, like I think about football players, they have to be, you know, when a quarterback gets that ball and he get ready to throw it, that other player has to be in position to catch that ball to make the touchdown. So when you're ready to be in position, if you know, maybe you're not ready, but you know somebody that's ready to be in position that you think could benefit from this weekend, MCD Networks and our team, you know, myself, Coach D, and Minister LaDon, and Philandis and Tamika and all of our teams that's involved with MCD Network, and Coach Adams is a partner. She's a partner. If you, you know, we want to invest in you. We want to give you an opportunity. So we have that, and we have other things that we know. Vertical Leap, you hear us talking about all the time, the second weekend of every month. These are things that we want to invest in people to come. We, you know, for you to come and get different life experiences. We want to sow seed into you so we can see a great harvest. Because if you're having a great harvest, guess what? Then the kingdom is having a great harvest. And you're a player in the kingdom of God, and we got to get you in position. We got to get you in position so that you can play your position. So we thank you. If you are interested, again, don't forget to hit me up on the MCD Network page, the Processing the Pain page, Woman to Woman page. On my personal Facebook, if you're a friend on there, you can inbox me. If you know of someone, they can inbox me. That event is this Saturday, so time is definitely running out. And, Coach Adams, we appreciate you. We thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job and changing lives. And I just want to do a shout-out to my mentors. If they're listening in, know that you are loved and appreciated. And I believe that everything that I'm doing as it pertains to the MCD Network is definitely a reflection of what I've learned, even when you thought I wasn't learning. So anyway, if there's any comments or questions, you can dial one on your dial pad right now. I'll be more than glad to take you in, give a few moments for that. Other than that, I appreciate you for tuning in to Processing the Pain this evening. It's been a blessing to be able to fellowship with you. And please just remember to know your season, know your seed, sow multiple crops, protect your seed, and don't sleep on your harvest. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and have a great evening.